Every step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. With each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, just leads me closer home. And then I feel my faith begins to waver when up ahead I see a chosen one. Then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong and He is by my side. Just leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground and ever leads me on. Until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
I could get my mic. There we go. This morning was terrific. Good spirit. We had a good turnout this morning too, it looked like. And so praise God for that. And just all around good service. And any time somebody gets saved, it's a good time. Right? Amen. So we were excited to see Ben come to know the Lord. I met Ben on door-to-door visitation. And his wife, and they started coming, and they've been coming now for 2-3 weeks now. And so I tell you, it works. It works. There are people out there. We just got to go and get them. And so let me encourage you to be a part of that. Be a part of the door-to-door outreach. Even if you can't come and actually go door-to-door with us, at least be actively a part of it. And you can do that by passing out the tracts. There in the foyer on the north side, we've got bundles of tracts that are bundled up in packets of 7 per packet. And it's a tract a week, a tract a day. Hey, do a tract a week at least. But a tract a day is the challenge. And 7 tracts will get you through the week. And so Take some of those out there and go out and invite people. You never know who God will put in your path. And you never know what they're going through, what they're facing. You never know what's going on in their heart and life. But just trust that the Lord will lead you to the right people. And when you give somebody a gospel tract, you're sowing the seed. You're planting seeds. You're watering. And God will bring the increase. You're not going to reach every single person you go after. But I tell you this, if you don't go out there, you'll never reach anybody. Right. And it's sad that so many Christians will go through their entire Christian life and not once ever lead somebody to Christ. And let's not let that be said of us. Let's be a soul-winning church for the glory of God. So, but it works. So keep them in your prayers. Get to know them, Ben and Trista. Get to know them. Levi and Priscilla. Priscilla got saved last week. They were here again this morning. So get to know these people. If you see somebody you don't know, it's okay to go up to them and say, "Hi, my name is Destry," or whatever your name is. It's okay to introduce yourself. It's okay to even be put in an awkward situation where you're quite not sure, you know, what to say or what to do. That's all right. Just make them feel welcome. Let them know that you're glad they came, and try to be a blessing to them. And I'm telling you, it works. We just are obedient to the Word of God. Well, tonight I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to start a sermon series tonight, and for the next 3 weeks following tonight, we're going to do a sermon series entitled "Olympics of Faith." Olympics of Faith. We're now into the time of the Olympics. Who's been watching the Olympics? Has anybody been watching the Olympics? Did anybody catch the opening ceremony? Opening ceremonies are just weird. I'm watching opening ceremonies and I'm thinking, who comes up with this stuff? And they call it art and they call it, you know, culture. And no, just bring out the athletes. Let them march to you know, the parade of athletes with their representing their country. I don't want to see guys wearing black shaking, you know, tinfoil paper in the air. Like, I don't care about that. But anyway, the Olympics, though, have inspired me to look to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures speaks a lot about athletics and sports in general, and more than what you might think. And with the season of the Olympics, it fits quite in. So we're going to do a series entitled "The Olympics of Faith." And tonight, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to start in verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. And tonight, I want to preach a sermon entitled, "Go for the Gold." Amen. We want to go for the gold. Amen. You know what silver is, right? Silver is the first person to lose. You know, we want to go for the gold. And so hopefully we'll encourage each and every one of us to go for the gold in our Christian lives. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And I'm going to focus in on this phrase, "So run that ye may obtain." Amen. Run so that ye may obtain. Let's pray. God, as we get into the preaching time, I pray now that you would still our hearts, focus our minds and our attention, that we may hear and receive and understand the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would challenge us, convict us, exhort us. Lord, that you would do whatever is necessary for us to serve you, live for you, walk with you, and that you would work in us and then through us, God. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be pleased and honored. I pray that I would not do one thing to dishonor your word or your spirit or Jesus Christ, Lord, that I wouldn't do anything to hinder the work of God in someone's heart and life tonight. Fill me with your Spirit. Use me as your instrument to preach the Word of God tonight. Thank you for these that have come out tonight. I pray you'd bless them for their faithfulness. And help us, God, as we strive to serve you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The original Olympics, the original Olympic Games, were first recorded in 776 BC in Olympia, Greece. And they were celebrated until AD 393. The modern day Olympics that you and I enjoy and follow and celebrate and these kind of things were brought about in 1884 by a guy from Switzerland whose name I doubt even his own mother could pronounce, so I won't try. He introduced the modern Olympic Games as they are known today. The Olympics is the leading international sporting event, featuring, of course, the Summer Olympics and Winter Olympics. And competitions in which thousands of athletes from 200 countries around the world participate in every 4 years. There are a dozen of sporting events that people like to follow, like the track and field. I like to watch the guys run. Because I don't run, so I just watch other people run. Track and field. Major sport teams, sporting events like basketball and soccer. And these things, they're widely popular during the time of the Olympics. Gymnastics is a big one. Swimming. Swimming, I remember in 2008 when Michael Phelps dominated the Summer Olympics in swimming and ran away with all 8 gold medals in the competitions that he competed in. Just dominated. He certainly showed them that America is not to be messed with in the swimming pool, you know. There are some events that I just don't get in the Summer Olympics. I don't get speed walking. Speed walking is what we did in church when we weren't supposed to be running. I've been practicing just for this tonight. You know, it's all in the hip motion. I don't get speed walking. Since when has that become an event? Badminton. Those are guys who couldn't cut it on the tennis court, you know? Synchronized swimming. I don't get it. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I'm just trying to figure out, why are these things in the Olympics? You know, and then I can't remember what it's called. Brother Britt likes to ride horses and things, but they have people wearing funny costumes who prant horses around, you know. And this is an event. And they get gold medals for that. You know, I understand getting a gold medal for, like, the triathlon. I mean, they go, like, 100 miles in a day. I mean, that's an event. You should get it more than a gold medal for that. You know, you should get your own country or something for winning that one. You know, these events are incredible to watch. I joke about these other, you know, badminton and stuff like that. But these guys, whether it's badminton or ping pong or track and field or volleyball, it doesn't matter what event. If it's in the Olympics, these are people who have dedicated themselves to win one thing. And that's that gold medal. Not one athlete is going there and saying, boy, I sure hope I come in fourth. You know, like, I want that bronze medal. Hey, now, to win any medal in the Olympics is an amazing feat. Yeah. I mean, if you consider the thousands of athletes that travel hundreds and hundreds of miles representing 200 countries representing the Olympics, to win a bronze medal is nothing to be ashamed of. So I'm not making fun of those, but let's be honest, every single one of those athletes have aspirations of walking into that field of event, whether it's volleyball or shooting or synchronized swimming. One thing is, they want the gold medal. Yeah. Like, they don't come in with plans and saying, okay, guys, bronze medal. You ready? Bronze on three. Like, they don't do that. They go in there with one goal. And that's to win the gold medal.
Right.
That's the highest prize to be won in the Olympics, is that gold medal. And that's what they strive for. And that's the goal of every athlete. And I want you to know tonight that you and I, as Christians, we too are competing in our own Olympics.
Yes.
Our own Olympics. Praise God, we don't have to run marathons. Amen. Or get in a pool and swim all of those laps. Or we don't have to get on a bicycle and ride hundreds of miles. I mean, we don't have to do that. Praise God for those things. But we are in a Olympic. In this Christian life, things like winning souls to Christ, discipling new believers, living a fruitful Christian life that honors and glorifies God, being a part of the local church, all of these things have to do with the spiritual Olympics that you and I are in.
Amen.
This is the Christian race. This isn't something that should be taken lightly. I guarantee you, not one athlete in Rio tonight took their event lightly. Every single one of them come in with laser-like focus to be the best they can be in that event. And you and I tonight, I want us to come with this determination that we're going to go for gold when it comes to our Christian life. That when it comes to you and I being a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're not going to settle for bronze or silver. We're going for gold all the way. I want that to be our heart's mindset and attitude. That we're going to do everything we can to be successful and victorious in our Christian life. So tonight as we look at this, I want you to first see that there's a prize to be won. There's a prize to be won for every Christian. Look in verse number 24 of our text. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temper in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." One of the highlights of every Summer Olympics is the track and field events. Every athlete competing in that track event will be running to win. But in those races, we understand there can only be one winner.
Right.
While there may be dozens and dozens of runners, my favorite two events are the 100 and 200 meter men's dash. And while I root for the home country, while I root for every athlete from the United States, when it comes to the 100 and 200, there's but one champion. His name's Usain Bolt. He runs for the country of Jamaica, the world's fastest man. Literally. Usain Bolt is the one that everybody tries to beat. In 2004, Usain Bolt ran the 200 meters in 19.93 seconds. In 2008, Usain became the first runner since his fellow Jamaican Donald Corey to hold the world records both in the 100 meter and 200 meter at the same time. Bolt set his record time for the 100 meter at 9.58 seconds. He ran 100 meters under 10 seconds. He ran the 200 meter at 19.19 seconds. And that is still currently the sitting world record. He holds 6 gold medals, and he won all 6 of them in one he won all 6 gold medals in 2012, I believe it was, in the Summer Olympics there. He's by far the world champion. And in this kind of race, whether, if we're talking about a physical race, there's only but one runner. And Paul mentions that, he alludes to that, that they that run in a race run all. Those guys, they all get on the starting blocks. They all have prepared for that, but there can only be one winner. And then he says, so run that you may obtain. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it sound like that there can only be one winner when it comes to the prize that is to be had for every Christian. He makes it sound like you and I are all in a race, racing and competing against each other to get that one prize. But the good news for every single one of us tonight is that there can be more than one winner when it comes to this prize that the Apostle Paul talks about in the Scriptures. This glorious crown. There can be more than one winner. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Hey, and this is the exciting thing, that you and I, we're not competing against one another. That's good. I'm glad I don't have to compete for a crown with people like Preacher. I don't have to compete for a crown against some spiritual giant somewhere. I don't have to compete against you, and you don't have to compete against me. We can all be winners when it comes to this glorious crown that he alludes to. I know that in a real race there can be one winner. But in the Christian life, the good news is we can all be winners.
Amen.
We can all strive for the crown. We can all go for the gold. We can all be victorious when it comes to the Christian life. That ought to encourage us to say, hey, I can win the prize.
Yeah, right.
I don't have to be some great missionary in Zambia, Africa to win the prize. I can be faithful to God right here in my local church and still win the prize. That's good news. That's encouraging tonight. That we don't have to compete against one another. Then you say, then who are we competing against? I want you to raise your hand like this. Raise your hand like this. Let me tell you who you're competing against to win the prize. Now point it to yourself. Because you are competing against you. To win the prize that the Apostle Paul speaks of, well, you're not competing against Preacher. You're not competing against Miss B or competing against anybody in the choir or the person sitting across from you in the pew. No, you're competing against yourself. And we'll talk, you'll see that as we get in the Scriptures. And we'll come back to the thought here in just a minute. But I want you to know that you're not competing against somebody else, but you're competing against yourself. But the good news is that you can be victorious. You can win the prize. You can go for the gold.
Amen.
Then look in verse number 25. There's a prize to be won. You're not competing against somebody else. It can be won. And this prize that you're going after, oh, it's not a temporal one. But it's an eternal one. Look in verse 25. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. No, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, an incorruptible.
Yeah.
An incorruptible. See, he speaks of during the time of the Grecian Olympics when the winner would come before the judge seat, the Bema seat, and we're going to talk about that in the last sermon of this series, the winner's podium. But when they get to the winner's podium, they would crown the victor with a wreath that would be made out of, it could be olive tree branches or something, and you see that symbol now in a lot of athletics. But they would crown the victor with a wreath. And the victor got to walk around with his wreath on, letting everybody know, I'm the victor. I won the wrestling match. I won the foot race. I won the horse race. I'm the champion.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing, but after a while, guess what would happen to that wreath?
Yeah.
It would wither. And eventually it would fall apart and die, and then it had to be, you know, I'm sure he would set it apart. You may go into some ancient Grecian's house and he'd say, look at my trophy, and he pulls out a pile of sticks, you know.
Yeah.
It wouldn't last. That wreath that he got wouldn't last. A conquering general, when he would come back from the war and they would bring him into the before the people, he would oftentimes wear a victor's wreath, but it wouldn't last. It was something that would fade away. It, even now, a guy may win a gold medal or a bronze medal or a silver medal, but over time, it's going to become where it doesn't... It'll corrode. It'll rust. It'll eventually lose its worth. But the prize that you and I can win, oh, it's eternal. Oh, it's something that will never... moth and rust will never corrupt. It's something that will never fade away. It's something that no matter how long that you and I spend in eternity, which, by the way, eternity gives you the indication of how long we'll spend there. Forever and ever. And the whole time you're there, the crown that can be yours will never fade away. It'll never rust. It'll never lose its shine. It'll never lose its glisten. It'll never lose its worth. The prize that the Apostle Paul speaks of, the crown that is incorruptible, it never fades away. That's the one that you can win. That's what I want. In my Christian life, I want to strive to win the crown that is incorruptible.
Amen.
I want to win the gold medal. I want to be a victor and stand before Christ and be awarded the victor's crown. I want to win the gold. So if you and I are going to be victors and win the gold, win this crown that is incorruptible, we need to understand that there are rules to be followed. There's a prize to be won, and then there are rules that need to be followed. He alludes to this in verse number 27. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 9, because this is where we're going to be. And I want you to just flip on over to just a few books on over, a few pages on over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're just going to look at one verse here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 9. The Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, to the young pastor of the church of Ephesus, and he says this to him. He says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully?
Right.
Strive lawfully? And Paul said, lest I be a castaway.
Mm-hmm.
A castaway. That's actually a sporting term for one who's disqualified.
Yeah.
Disqualified. See, in track, they have lanes that they must run in. And you can be disqualified if you get out of your lane.
Yeah.
You can be disqualified if you do anything to bend or try to skirt or get around the rules. Some of you may remember Marion Jones. Marion Jones was the American sprinter and long jumper. She was the star of the 2000 Sydney Games. She captured the heart of a country. And she went on to win 3 gold medals and 2 bronze medals, becoming the first woman to win 5 medals at a single Olympiad event. Her feats, though, became under suspicion when her husband C.J. Hunter, he was an American shot putter and also won a gold medal in shot putting. When he tested positive for steroids. And because of that, these performance enhancers, Marion Jones became under suspicion as well, seeing as that was her husband. They shared the same trainer and the same agent. And so she fell under suspicion, and then she denied it and denied it. And then in 2007, she admitted that she used performance-enhancing drugs during the Sydney Games. She served a six-month sentence for lying to federal investigators, and she was stripped of all five of her Olympic medals. Why? Because she didn't strive lawfully. She tried to skirt and bend around the rules. There, let me make this clear. If we're going to win the incorruptible crown, we must do it God's way.
Yeah.
We must follow God's guidelines. We have to follow what God has set forth in His Word. There are no shortcuts when it comes to this Christian life. There's no way that we can somehow cheat and get in and win the victor's crown. There's no way that you and I can just try to find ways to get around what God has said and what God has done. There's no way around it. And here's the thing about this Christian life. You and I can come to church and we can put our King James Bible under our arm and come in, sit in the pew, know all the words to the hymn and sing and fool everybody around us that we're some great Christian, and people would look at you and say, "Wow, what a Christian." But God knows your heart.
Amen.
He knows what's happening on here. He knows what happens when you go home after church and nobody is around to see you. He knows what you do late at night when nobody's watching. He knows how you treat your boss at work. He knows how you what you think about your spouse. See, God knows all of these things and more.
Amen.
He knows everything about us. There's not one thing that we can hide from His eyes. There's not one thing or thought or action that we can do and think somehow God won't notice or see it happen. If we're going to win the crown, it has to be done God's way.
Amen.
We have to follow the guidelines. And God has set forth in His Word everything that we need to know tonight.
Yes.
There's not one thing that God has left out of His Word. It's not like you and I are going to get there and say, "God, I have done my best to follow Your Word." And God's like, "Oh, well, there's one thing I forgot to put in there and you didn't follow it. So no, you don't get the victor's crown."
Yeah.
No, God has put forth everything we need to know in these pages.
Yeah, that's right.
There's not one thing He's left out. If Jesus Christ Himself could come and preach a sermon tonight, He wouldn't tell you anything different that's not found in this Word. God has made it abundantly clear what He wants from His children, what He wants from the disciples of Christ, what our lives ought to look like, how our marriages are supposed to look like, how we parent our children, how we handle our finances, how we work on the job, how we treat others, how we treat our authority, what kind of citizens we are. All of these things that concern that pertain to life are found in His Word. Not one thing is missing. And if you and I are going to strive to win the gold, that incorruptible crown, we have to follow God's law. We have to do it His way.
Right.
We have to strive lawfully for the crown. Because there's no fooling God, and there's no tricking God, and there's no getting around it. God will one day judge us fairly and openly. Because and he has the right to do it because He sees and knows all things. Hey, a referee may miss a call in a game. And I'm the first one to point it out and say, "That was a bad call, ref, come on." You know, I'll even throw my glasses at a ref. But hey, you need these worse than I do, you know. And it doesn't help him because he's on the TV screen, you know. But a referee may miss a call. A judge may make a bad judgment. I've seen guys win silver medals who I thought for sure should have been the gold medal winner. And they may, score it wrong or something, but God won't, He won't miss a beat. He won't miss a call. He won't miss a single thing in our lives. So if we're going to go for the gold, we got to strive lawfully. We got to do it God's way. Lest we be a castaway. Lest we be disqualified. Some people like to try to use this as a proof text that you can lose your salvation. Let me tell you this. If you think that, then you go back and reread some of your other parts of the Bible.
Yeah, right.
This isn't talking about losing your salvation. This is talking about losing your rewards in heaven. And you can lose them. Hey, anybody that gets saved and goes to heaven, praise God for that. And to go to heaven is a magnificent thing. But it's not all going to be joy and pleasantness for everybody at first.
Yeah, right.
There's, like I said, we'll talk about this later on in the sermon series, but there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of an accounting. Not for our sins, praise God for that one. Aren't you glad you don't have to give an account for your sins? I, for one, am certainly glad I don't have to give an account for my sins. But I do have to give an account for my life, my actions, my words, my thoughts. And I don't want to be the one who doesn't get rewarded for this life. When they're casting the crowns at the feet of Jesus, I want to be one of them. I want to have some crowns in my hands that I can throw back at His feet. So there's a prize to be won, and the rules need to be followed. And then lastly here tonight, there's a price to be paid. There is a price to be paid for all of this. Let me get back to our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or 9, I mean. The Apostle Paul says here in our text in verse number 26, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." And then he switches to another sport. He switches to one of my favorite sports. And he says, "So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Once you know, there's a price to be paid. Athletes who win the gold medals pay a high price to do so. We'll deal with this more next week. Next week, we'll talk about the price of a champion. And next week, we'll preach on, Lord willing, train like a champion. But let me give you a little bit here. This is an excerpt from an article that I read in Forbes magazine. Forbes had an online article about the 2016 Rio Olympics. And they had a piece on here about the Olympic athletes, what it takes to be an Olympic athlete, what it takes to be an Olympian. This is not real long, but just bear with me. Many Olympic athletes plan out their training schedules annually, and they plan as far as 4, 6, and 8 years in advance. They make certain specific performance goals, and they regularly measure themselves to how they're meeting those goals. While their plans may not include exact details on how many repetitions they should complete on a Tuesday in February, they do designate periods of rest and intense workouts, says Steve Bammel. He's a strength and conditioning coordinator for the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, California. Particularly in the lead-up to the games, athletes also specifically train to prepare their bodies for the types of conditions they'll face during outdoor events. In Beijing, the 2012 Olympics, they trained for temperatures that were in the 80s with up to 80 and 90% humidity. To make sure they hit their targets, athletes training at one of the U.S. Olympic Training Center's facilities also frequently meet with a team of physician, nutritionist, exercise psychologist, sport medicine doctor, specialists, and coaches to discuss their strengths and weaknesses and accordingly tweak their diets, sleeping patterns, and even how long they sit or stand. They study recovery techniques, and athletes do weird things to recover from training, like sitting in ice-cold baths, eating a straight diet of pickles after a workout. They do things to recover their body. Athletes' body composition doesn't measure up to standards, then more fitness sessions will be added to their schedule. Athletes feeling fatigue may find their iron levels examined on a hour-by-hour basis. Those who make it to the games have to be mentally tough, frequently separated from their families to train or compete in national and international events. They've got to juggle their demanding training schedules and personal lives, and many of these athletes do not have personal sponsors and must work a job on top of that.
Yeah.
Talk about serious dedication. All for a gold medal. All for the opportunity to represent your country and be the best you can in your specific field. It's an amazing thing. To be a world-class athlete, it requires sacrifice and discipline. See, the successful Christian life is not one that we half-heartedly go after. To be successful as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that fruitful Christian that He says in John chapter 15 that glorifies God, it doesn't happen by accident. It's not something you can half-heartedly go after. Albert Barnes said, Paul's statement is, I do not run haphazardly. I do not exert myself for nothing. I know at what I aim, and I keep my eye fixed on the object. And Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who his eyes were fixed on. The aim was always to please God, to glorify Him. He said, if there's a crown to be won, then I'm not going to just half-heartedly approach this. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it everything I've got. And there's not going to be one instant and one moment that I'm just going to skate by and try to get by. Paul said, I'm in it to win it. And that ought to be our attitude tonight. I'm in this Christian life to win the prize. I want to glorify Christ. I want to glorify God. I want to be fruitful. I want people to be saved because of my life. I want people to come to know Christ because of me. I want people to be growing and being discipled and lives to be changed because of God using me. I want God to use me to make a difference. And He says, I'm in it to win it. I'm not in this just to half-heartedly get through this and just see what the minimum amount I can do. I'm in it to go all the way. And the Apostle Paul certainly went all the way when he wrote to Timothy and he said, I have kept the fight, the faith. I've ran my course. I've fought a good fight. He was in it all the way. He was dedicated to it. Not one athlete in Rio tonight is not dedicated to their event and to their sport and to winning that medal. They're all focused and dedicated to the cause. Can that be said of Christians in the church tonight? Are we dedicated to the cause? And then he says the victorious Christian is intentionally done and on purpose. Look at verse 26, the last part. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Up to this point, he's always been talking about track and field, like a marathon runner or one running the 100 meter, 200 meter, 400 meter. And now he switches to a different sport, to another popular Grecian sport in their Olympics, and that was boxing. I like boxing. I like to watch the guys get in the ring and just beat each other. Sugar Ray Leonard, one of the great boxers of all time. He won the gold medal in the welterweight boxing in the 1976 Olympics. He did not win that gold medal by getting in the ring and just begins flailing and swinging his arms. As one that beateth in the air. That's what it is. The one beateth in the air, that's a boxer who just gets in the ring and he has no strategy. His one strategy is just start flailing his arms, seeing who can even hit. You would not be a very successful boxer if that was your strategy. You know, you get in the ring and just start doing this. You know, I've never been in a street fight or anything like that. I did some like Taekwondo when I was a kid and stuff. But I imagine that'd probably be my strategy. If somebody attacked me on the street, that'd be my strategy. I'm just going to see how many punches I can land without dying, you know. But he says, hey, if that's your strategy as a Christian, and I'll make this application. He says, look, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm very intentional about what I do. I'm very intentional about what I do. I watched an article of Sugar Ray Leonard years after he retired, and now he's a boxing legend in the Hall of Fame and these things. But he talks about strategy. He's a coach. He coaches other fighters and boxers about strategy. About when you get in the ring, what's going to be your strategy? Because the idea is to hit your opponent more than he hits you, right? Like, that's the point. And so he talks about, what's your strategy? And I don't understand all of that. And we're not going to talk about boxing strategy here tonight. But every fighter that gets in the ring, he has a game plan. Okay, I'm gonna try to, maybe if a guy's more slow on his feet, the opponent's thinking, my plan is to try to get him to move a lot because I'm quicker than he is. Or he's got a long reach, so I got to get up close. And they all have different strategies and plans that when I get in the ring, this is what I'm going to do. Because a fighter who doesn't have a strategy, he's not intentional about what he's doing in the ring, he'll get beat every time. And he says, as one that beateth the air. That means he misses the mark every time. You know, a fighter may get in the ring and just start flailing his arms, but he's going to run out of energy. He's going to run out of stamina. He's going to run, and he's certainly not going to be very effective. But you watch in the Olympics. You watch these guys. They've been training their whole lives for this one fight, and they get in the ring, and you can tell they're trained. They're intentional. Every movement, every jab, every cross, the way they duck their head, everything is intentional. You can tell these guys have trained. They've prepared for this. And Paul alludes to us tonight that if we're going to be victorious Christians and be successful as disciples of Jesus Christ, we got to be intentional about it. Yeah. We got to go in this thing with a plan. We got to realize that this Christian life isn't always just sitting in the shade drinking pink lemonade and enjoying life as it comes by. It's a fight. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed this, but our enemy certainly likes to hit back. You start living for God, and you give him a jab, and he comes back with a right cross. And when he hits, it's hard. The devil's a fighter. Yeah. He doesn't give up. But like I said, it's not just the devil we got to worry about. The number one person we're competing against is ourselves. Right. And Paul says in the last verse there in our text, so I bring my body, I keep my under my body, I bring it into subjection. We'll talk more about this next week, but he says, I bring my body into subjection. He uses a fighting term. He's alluding to boxing again. Like a boxer would try to put his opponent into subjection and to say, no, you're going to do what I want you to do. That's pretty much in any sport, is always overpowering the one you're playing. Force your game plan on top of them. Make them fight your fight, so to say. And that's what he says. My body, my lustful flesh is always raising its ugly head when I'm trying to serve God. And I would sit there and say, yeah, Paul, I agree with you on that one. Every time I try to live for God, it's not just the devil fighting me, it's my own stinking self that's fighting me. Yeah. And I think I have to wrestle and fight more with myself than I do with anything else. Get up and pray. Spend an extra 20, 30 minutes with God. Oh, this bed is so comfortable. I don't want to get up and serve God. What do you mean to go over there and talk to them about Christ? I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. That's a little out of my comfort zone, God. to go talk to them. And the one I wrestle with the most is not the devil, although he is the real adversary. It's myself.
Yeah.
And Paul says, I have to put my body into subjection. Other words, he's saying, my flesh, my emotions, my wants and desires are not going to lord over me. I'm going to lord over them. And what I'm going to do for God is going to be intentionally done. You're going to be victorious in your Christian life, you got to be intentional. You got to have a plan. What's your plan for reading your Bible? What's your plan for praying, for soul winning, for being actively involved in the church? What's your plan? You got to have one. You got to put your body into subjection. You got a real enemy to fight. And you can't just go in there thinking that you can just flail your arms around and be victorious. He says, no, you got to be intentional about it, lest you be a castaway. So let me ask you tonight, are you in the Olympic Games of the Christian life tonight? Or as I've heard preacher many times behind this pulpit say, or are you a spectator?
Yeah.
Are you a spectator? Are you in the book seeking God's plan and will and being obedient to it? Striving lawfully for that crown? Are you intentionally living your life to honor and glorify God? Or are you trying to be victorious by just throwing everything you got and hoping something sticks? Are you following the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life? Following the guidance of the Word of God in your life? This is a serious thing. And there is a crown to be won. And I want to exhort each and every one of us. Let's go for the gold. Let's stand tonight. We're going to have an invitation. And if you're here tonight and you've just been a spectator in all of this, let me tell you, get in the race. Get in the ring. Get to serving God. Hey, in the context that God would have us to serve Him is in the context of the local New Testament church. This is where we exercise our talents and gifts. This is where we minister to people. This is where it's through the local church that when we go out of this place that we serve God. Get in the race. Get in the ring. Get in the action. Be a part of it. If you're a Christian here tonight, let me tell you, there's no shortcuts. There's no way to get around it. We got to be serious about it. We got to be intentional about it. Let's go for the gold. Whatever it is that the Lord has spoken to you about tonight, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. And if you need to pray, take as long as you need and pray. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'll be happy to get somebody with you and pray with you. If you're here tonight and you don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, I didn't even preach on salvation, but I believe this, that's our greatest need. And when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit has a way of convicting the heart about that. If you need to be saved tonight, we'll show you from the Scriptures how you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Your sins are forgiven. After I'm done praying, if the Lord spoke to you, I'm going to invite you to come. Our Heavenly Father, as we get to this invitation now, I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would work in hearts and lives. It would do what only You can do. Lord, I pray that You would help us and encourage us and strengthen us to realize that this is a race to be won. This is a fight to be won. This is a serious event. And we're not to just half-heartedly attempt to win the prize, but we're to go with it, go after it with all of our heart. Lord, and that requires full surrender. That requires putting our bodies in subjection and surrendering to You and becoming that living sacrifice that is pleasing and honoring to You. Lord, help us to always remember that it's not by our might or by our strength, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit of God within us. That it's through the power of Christ that strengtheneth us every day to be victorious. But God, help us to also realize that while you promise the strength and the wisdom and the direction, it still requires us to do our part, to be surrendered, to be willing, and to put in the effort, and God, and to allow you to bless and move while we serve you. Bless now the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God has spoke to you, go ahead and come.